Welcome to the Hills Baptist Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us as we see Jesus glorified, lives transformed, and hope revealed in the Adelaide Hills and beyond. We hope you enjoy this message.
Father, thank you. Thank you for those that we can learn from. Thank you for those that are faithful in this room for many, many years that we've already celebrated. And Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's living and active. And you do have a word for every single one of us here this morning. And I pray that you would help us to hear it. Give us ears to hear what you are saying to your church. This is your church. You love this church. God, would you speak to us today? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let me get straight into the word. Acts chapter 16. If you've got a Bible, turn it there or open your device. Verse 6. It says, Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. All right, I got something for you this morning that I don't reckon you've ever seen in a Baptist church, okay? I got four U's, four headings starting with the letter U. Anybody can preach four P's, all right? Anyone can do that. In fact, you don't even have to be a Christian to preach three C's, all right? Anyone can do that, but four U's. I mean, you've never seen, have anyone ever seen four U's in a Baptist church before? All right, let me start. You know, the unction, everyone say unction. The unction of the Spirit leads us to people who need Jesus. Who remembers the old song, give me unction in my gumption, help me function? Hands up if you remember that song. All the old people in the room, welcome. It's great to have you here. Who's never heard that song before? Okay, we've got a lot more young people in the room. Yeah, Paul wanted to go to the province of Asia, which is essentially modern-day Turkey, but it says the Holy Spirit stopped them. And then at Mysia, as they kept moving, they didn't stop, they kept moving, but at Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but it says the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go there. Who would love the footnotes for this time in history? Who'd love the footnotes to know how? How did the Holy Spirit stop them? You know, how did the Spirit, you know, not allow them to go any further? Was there some, you know, big stop sign that came down from heaven? You know, did they hit some, you know, heavenly force field? Did they hear a booming voice from heaven? Was it written in the clouds? The answer is we don't know. But my unction, or my best guess, is that it was nothing quite as demonstrative as that. I think if it was something really demonstrative like that, that Luke the historian probably would have recorded it. I actually think as they sat and they prayed, they heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit. And they had to trust the unction of the Spirit within them. Don't go that way. And as they listened to the unction of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit led them to people who needed Jesus. And this is important. The Holy Spirit could lead them because they kept moving. Susan and I together are going to talk a little about listening to the Holy Spirit in our next session. And we're going to do it together because we are extremely different people. I'm an extreme introvert. She's an extreme extrovert. We actually, the way that we relate to the Holy Spirit is actually a little bit different. And I'm hoping, you know, that same Holy Spirit, but I'm hoping that as we share a little bit of our journey, you know, across the spectrum that's in this room, you know, we all might see, you know, where how we can, you know, better be led by the unction of the Holy Spirit. But I want to encourage all of us here, don't make this complicated. As I said, I am an extreme introvert. When I first started, you know, serving in the church as a 19-year-old, I surrendered my life to Jesus, and I just started, you know, serving as a volunteer youth leader in the church. I did not have, you know, great conversational skills. I did not have any pastoral skills, but I just wanted to serve Jesus. And I can remember this time standing at the back of our church, and I saw a guy walk in that I've never seen before. And I just felt the unction of the Spirit say to go and talk to him. You know, Acts chapter 8, you know, Philip is walking down the road, and the Holy Spirit says, go and stand near that chariot. Put your hand up if you can go and stand near someone in this room. Come on, if you've got the ability to stand near someone. That's all that happened for me. You know, standing at the back of the church, I didn't see, you know, anything written in the sky. You know, I didn't hear an audible voice. I just felt this unction, you know, within me, go and stand near that guy. And he was a guy, he had dreadlocks. He stood out a little bit. I didn't know him. I'd never seen him before. And I just, you know, I tried to my best to communicate with him, but I wasn't great pastorally. I didn't have great conversation skills, and I was a little bit awkward, and I'm thinking, God, what have you got me here for? But for some reason, he came back again the second week. And the next week, I thought, oh, I just got to do the same thing. And so I went and stood with him again and just tried to befriend him. And I did this a few weeks in a row until he started to meet a few other people. And I just kind of felt relieved. I didn't have to do this week after week after week. But 12 months later, I'll never forget this. 12 months later, he stood in the baptistry, tears rolling down his face. And he said, when I turned up here 12 months ago, I was addicted to drugs. Life was an absolute mess. And I turned up here just reaching for something, hoping for something to turn my life around. And he said, I just really want to thank Jason, who came and stood with me and welcomed me into this church. To be honest, he was a little bit awkward to talk to. Word for word what he said. But I felt welcome, and over the last 12 months I've discovered Jesus and he's changed my life. That was 30 something years ago. That man is now the principal of a special school in Sydney, reaching out to people that are in desperate need, just like we've heard, you know, Miriam talk about this morning. People that are marginalised in the community. He does it week after week, and he does it brilliantly, much better than I ever could. All I want to say is don't make it complicated. Just listen to the unction of the Spirit. Go and be near people. Love people. It's a simple question. Simple question I think we can all ask every day. Jesus, who do you want me to notice today? Who's one person you want me to notice today? There's this one of the people I noticed. I'm so involved in church these days. It's very, very difficult for me to find a mission field. I do my best. I play sport and run and stuff, just trying to find people to talk to about Jesus. But, you know, one of my mission fields is women who are Christians who drag their unchurched husbands to church. I can spot them a mile off, and I'll just make a beeline for them. I remember this guy, Rob, and he'd come about three times a year with his wife, and I'd just find him. And then I started spotting him at the shops, at the local shops. And often as a pastor, you know, particularly on a Monday, and you see people from church at the shops, and you pull your hat down, and you just kind of keep walking. Remember, I'm an extreme introvert, all right? Dave Shepherd would never do that. But when I kept seeing Rob at the shops, I just kept making a beeline for him. Anyway, after about 12 months, he pulled me over at the shops and he says, what's going on? He says, have I got a target on my back? I said, no, mate. The Holy Spirit made me notice you. And I just believe Jesus is on your case. Anyway, long story short, in that very shopping centre, over a cheap, pretty crappy cup of coffee at a supermarket food court, and I hate supermarket food courts, I led Rob to Jesus in that supermarket. The funny bit is, I now hardly see him at the shops. It's about once a year, and whenever he sees me, he grabs me, he puts an arm around my shoulder, and he just points to that table, and he just remembers where he met Jesus. Don't make it complicated. Wherever you're at on the journey, whether you feel like you've got great conversational skills and you can, you know, you can explain the four spiritual laws, you know, or whether you can just stand near someone and love them and welcome them and be their friend, God can use you. But the unction, everyone say unction? The unction of the Spirit will always lead us to people who need Jesus. Paul has a vision of a man from Macedonia begging for help. Now, Macedonians didn't beg very often. Macedonia was actually a cultural and business center. It was a place where there was considerable wealth. They weren't used to begging. But who knows, you know, even in this beautiful part of Adelaide Hills where there are many people who have got much, there is still, if you do not know Jesus, there is a spiritual poverty. There's something within people begging for help. This is what's happening in Macedonia. It says, when they saw this vision of a man from Macedonia begging, they got ready at once. Because second you ready for this? There's an urgency to share the gospel. You know, when the Holy Spirit is filling us, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's an urgency to share the gospel, whatever the cost. You see, to go to Macedonia, they had to get on a boat and cross the sea for 2 days. That's why they wanted to go to Turkey. That's why, you know, they wanted to go into the province of Asia, because they could walk. They were land lovers. They didn't like boats. Sea was a place of chaos. They didn't go to the beach for holidays. They could not swim. They did not like water. But there was such an urgency to share the gospel with people who've never heard it before, they were willing to do whatever it took. You cannot manufacture urgency with a motivational talk. It wouldn't matter how good I was at speaking up here, or how good Dave Shepherd is at speaking up here every week. You cannot manufacture urgency to share the gospel with a motivational talk. You can't do it with a guilt trip, and nor will you do it with willpower. But when you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, there'll be an urgency within you to share the good news of Jesus. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know, Jesus says to the people who should have been ready to go and share what Jesus had been teaching, ready to go and share the good news of the kingdom, because they'd heard it, they'd witnessed it, they'd seen Jesus do it in so many different situations. They'd heard all of his teaching. They were ready to go. But in Acts 1, you know, Jesus says, don't do anything. Don't go anywhere. But wait until you receive power from on high. Wait until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be my witnesses. It will happen. There'll be a natural overflow of the Holy Spirit of God within you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth, like Macedonia was for these people. And in the next 15 chapters of the book of Acts, Luke records stories of ordinary people. Do not think these are kind of, you know, some people with, you know, just supernatural powers that they're born with. They are ordinary people filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel. But in chapter 16, there's a change. Chapter 16, Luke records all these stories of ordinary people taking the gospel into different places. But in chapter 16, there's a change. Let's just have a look at verse 10 again, see if you can see the change. I've kind of helped you up on the screen, but let's read it together. After Paul had seen the vision, say it with me. We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called to preach the gospel to them. What's the change? It changes from the third person to the first person. Luke, the historian, becomes Luke the missionary. Luke, the doctor, becomes Luke the evangelist. It's the first time Luke includes himself in the mission team. Luke joins the team. Luke becomes part of the family on mission. I believe this is the change that's needed in the Australian church in this next season. I talked about one of my heroes last night, Billy Graham. Incredible move of God through decades in this nation when he came here. Crowds of people came to listen to him. He is a hero of mine. But I don't believe that's the way God is going to move in this next season. I believe God is going to use ordinary people. Ordinary people just reaching out to the people around them. Ordinary people loving people in their community, loving people in prisons, loving people in schools, loving people wherever God has placed you and sharing the good news of Jesus. Just ordinary people, everyone reaching someone because the ones matter to God. You'll never lock eyes with someone who doesn't matter to Jesus. Everyone can reach someone. I remember the first time I grew up in a reasonably conservative denomination, Churches of Christ, and just I was this good Church of Christ boy when I came to know Jesus. A couple of years later, I was at a church and I was filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. I didn't really know what it meant at the time, but I just knew a new power within me. I knew a new grace of God that just became real to me. I remember not long after that first time I was filled with the Spirit, standing in line to go to the bathroom. And to be honest, there was a line and I needed to go quite urgently. But I had a greater urgency to tell the bloke in front of me in the line about Jesus. I can just remember standing in that toilet line telling Gareth how, I'll never forget his name, telling Gareth how good Jesus was. It turns out Gareth was already a Christian. I'm not sure why God had me there. But it was a time in my life where the Spirit of God was just alive in me and there was this urgency to tell people about Jesus. And it's been my test, it's my litmus test still to this day. Do I have the same urgency to let people know that Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth and he came to save you from your sins? And I want to ask you today, is there an urgency within you? Is there an urgency within you to tell people the good news of Jesus? It's one of the signs that we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes discouragement from other people or discouragement from, you know, I talked about Frank last night getting rejected time and time again when he tried to share the gospel with my grandfather. Sometimes discouragement can kind of, we leak a little bit of faith, a little bit of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we actually just get disillusioned with ourselves. We think, how could God really use me? Let you in on a little secret. God was never illusioned about you in the first place. He knew exactly, you know, what kind of vessel you were. He knew you would leak, but he wants to keep filling you. He wants to keep filling you with the power of the Holy Spirit. And for some of us here in this room, it's not actually so much about disappointment, you know, with ourselves or discouragement from others, but some of us might even be disappointed with God. You know, we believed something was going to happen in a certain way and it didn't happen in that way. And that disappointment has taken up some space in our heart. And God wants you to give that to Him, to give that over to Him this morning. He's not here smacking you about it. He's saying, give it over. I've got something better for you. I want to fill you afresh with my Spirit. I want to fill you with goodness and grace. I want to fill you with power. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's an urgency to share the gospel. You cannot change the world for everyone. But everyone here in this room, you can change the world for someone as you reach out with the good news of Jesus. Some of us, I just believe, I'm going to finish actually. This is what I'm going to finish just by praying that God would fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit and a renewed urgency to share the gospel. All right, but third you, and this one's spectacular, all right? Have a look at this. Come on. I want a round of applause for this. Unexpected people in unexpected places plant unprecedented churches. Come on. Come on. Let me read a little bit more of what happened when they went to Macedonia. It says in verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected, everyone say expected. This is what they expected. They expected to find a place of prayer. But we sat down and we began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. They went to the river expecting to find somewhere to pray. But when they got there, they found an unexpected answer to their prayer. Lydia is a worshipper. She's a Jewish sympathizer. She wasn't born a Jew, she's a Gentile, and she sympathizes with the religion of the Jews, but she's not yet converted. She's seeking God, but she does not know God personally. And I want to encourage you today, there are many Lydias in the Adelaide Hills. This is not a nation. I'm really sorry, I've brought you up a little bit too soon. Can you give me 5 minutes? 5 minutes. I'm going to get there. There are many Lydias in our community. There are many. Our nation is not full of angry atheists. Sometimes we believe that when we read our social media feed or, you know, we listen to mainstream media, we think the whole nation is full of angry atheists. That there are many people still seeking, don't know God personally. They turn up at Christmas and Easter. You know, research says, just hands up again if you're old in the room. We worked that out before. You know, if you're older, like me, 1 in 4 people who you befriend will accept an invitation to this church. You'll get rejected 3 times, but 1 in 4 will say yes. Now, if you're younger, put your hand up if you're younger again. It gets better, 1 in 3. 1 in 3 of people you befriend. I'm not just talking about random people on the street. I'm talking about people you invite over for dinner. 1 in 3 people will actually accept an invitation to come to church. This nation is not full of angry atheists. You know, Kate is a Lydia. She turned up to our church when her daughters, she had twin daughters, were very, very sick. And she started praying in the hospital, as people do. And God miraculously, when she wasn't a Christian, God miraculously worked in her daughter's life. She started seeking God, started coming to our church, asked me to dedicate her twin daughters. And her husband sat in our church for 4 years. They made some friends. They actually started serving in our church before they committed to faith in Jesus Christ. But I had the privilege 4 years later, I called them. I called people to the front, say, there's no hands in the air this morning. If you want to follow Jesus, you come and stand at the front, in front of everybody. And her and her husband walked to the front and they committed their life to Jesus. I had the joy of baptizing her. I just remember that moment of saying, this is not a lifestyle change. Her eternal destiny has changed. She, she's, She's now, this is, that was 10 years ago, she's now the operations manager of our whole church. She's a wealthy businesswoman using her skills in the corporate world, now using her skills in the church to bless many others. And just like Lydia, her whole family's been baptized, and now her extended family are starting to come to faith. Kate had a fairly messy family situation. Not many people have got two stepmoms. Kate's got two stepmoms. Right, you can work out how that happens. But she's got two stepmoms. This is one of her stepmoms, mum, 91. Baptised her last Easter. And her testimony was this. I went to school and thought God was angry at me. I've discovered in the last year at 91 years of age that God loves me and wants a relationship with me, and I'm committing my life to Jesus. The second convert, that was the first convert. The second convert is a poor, tormented slave girl who's following Paul and Silas and the buddies around and shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, telling people how to be saved." Listen to what Paul says in verse 18. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit left her. I love this. Paul the Apostle, Paul the writer of half the New Testament, loses his cool. He lost it. It gives me hope that the God uses ordinary, broken people like me. And I want to encourage you, there's many young people like this girl in our nation, tormented by demons, tormented by mental health issues, tormented by anxiety, tormented by depression, including our own daughter. At 14, this is our daughter Bronte at 14. She's given us permission to share this story. Very, very sick with anorexia. Darkest days of our life. Very dark days in our family. We didn't know what to do. We ended up being told, "You've got to take her to hospital or she'll die." And the doctors told us to wheel her in a wheelchair because her heart is not strong enough to get from the car park into the hospital. I remember one day going to visit her on my own. Normally we'd go together, but this time I went on my own for some reason. And I tried to talk with her, I tried to pray with her, I tried to talk to her about the love of Jesus, and she just started screaming. So much so the doctors came in and said, "Jason, you're doing more harm than good, you need to leave." Now, I'm a professional hospital visitor. I'm good at it these days. And this is my daughter that I love. I got sent out. She was in a bad, very, very dark place. And I'm really grateful. God gave both Susan and I, on one day apart, very similar dreams about Bronte standing in our baptistry, sharing her testimony of the change that Jesus had made in her life. And we hung on to that for several years and just prayed and prayed for a breakthrough. And I'm just here to say thank you, Jesus, because we did see a breakthrough. We stood in that baptistry with Bronte. And she gave her life to Jesus. She came home one day and she said, "Dad, I'm going to get a tattoo." And not every dad's love hearing that. And I said, "What are you going to get?" She says, "I want a tattoo blessed on my wrist so I'll never forget how blessed I am." I said, "Yeah, you can get that tattoo any day of the week." That girl who we wheeled in to that hospital today is competing in front of crowds of people in a national CrossFit championship. She is strong in body, mind, and spirit. She is a sponsored athlete who uses her body for good and has got a testimony of the power of Jesus to change lives. I'm here to tell somebody, do not give up praying for your kids. Slave owner wasn't real happy. Sent Paul and Silas to prison. Luke's already talked about it this morning. The jailer's probably a tough old Roman army officer, shell-shocked, about to kill himself. He's probably a man who's bowed down to many idols in the Roman Empire as he went to war, but he did not know God. And it's like many blokes in our nation, bowed down to all sorts of idols. And sadly today, many men are losing hope. And it's still the most common way for men my age to die is to end their lives in this lucky nation. Paul intervenes and he shares the gospel. It says, at that night, hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And then it says, immediately he and all his household were baptized. I remember reading this passage and preaching on it sometime last year. And that word immediately just jumped off the page to me. And I just said, today, anybody here, you can get immediately baptized if you want to put your faith in Jesus. And I preached at our 8 o'clock service, and it's a service where not many non-Christians come to church at 8 o'clock. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to get a salvation response at 8 o'clock. You know, you really got to love Jesus to get up that early. But anyway, at 8 o'clock, by faith, I just said someone's going to immediately get baptized here today. And this 84-year-old man named Mark, he stepped out from the very back row and walked to the front, and he got baptized last year. And I stood with his son, who I knew in the baptistry, and I said, Steve, your dad just got immediately baptized, but how long have you been praying for him to get saved? 35 years. The word God gave me was immediately. But this man had been faithfully praying for 35 years. I want to encourage you, do not give up. There are many blokes like Mark, like this Philippian jailer who desperately need Jesus, have got, you know, to some point in their life where they've gained everything, but they've lost their soul. The Holy Spirit led unexpected people to unexpected places to plant unprecedented churches. And I believe God's still doing that. There's church planters in this room. There was a day I did not think I could preach. I didn't think I could pastor. I didn't think I could lead. Extreme introvert. But I just fell in love with Jesus, and I just had a passion to reach young men in Western Sydney for Jesus. And I ran the worst youth group in Australia. I had to call the police every second week. Kids had put other kids' heads through the wall, and oh, it was a mess. There was blood on the floor every week, but miracles started to happen. And I remember sitting in the gutter with my mate James after one Friday night, and I said, mate, wouldn't it be awesome to do this full time? And he just looked at me, because I actually thought everybody's secret ambition was to be a youth pastor, but only a few select people got to do it. And he said, nah. He said, I'm an engineer. He says, I love helping you on a Friday night, but I don't want to do this full time. I realized in that moment God had a call on my life. And there's someone here today, you're realizing God's got a call on your life. It might not be to go into full-time ministry, but there's a passion in your heart and you've got to follow it. You've got to follow it. You've got to listen to the unction of the Holy Spirit, because he's still using unexpected people in unexpected places to plant unprecedented churches. And if Australia's going to come to know Jesus, then Hills Baptist Church and a whole bunch of other churches have got to plant a whole lot more churches. Can I hear an amen? Come on, can I hear an amen? I look forward to come back here. I want to come back to Gathered 30. All right, I want to come back to Gathered 30, and there's 10 campuses all gathered together in a bigger room than this. Can I hear an amen from Dave Shepherd? Right. Lastly, and this is where I meant you to come up. You're a good man. Thanks for hanging in there. Come on, put your hands together. Last, you. We need a unified church on mission in our nation. Acts 16, verse 40. Laura, if you weren't here when Laura started worship, she had a word from God about unity and worshiping together. And there weren't too many people that were listening to you, Laura, but I was. And it was a word for today. You heard from God. This nation needs a unified church, a family on mission, worshiping together. We're not sure how many other converts there were in Macedonia besides a wealthy businesswoman, a slave girl, and a Roman jailer. But that alone was a powerful witness for the gospel. People of different nationalities, different class, different socioeconomic status met together in loving community. That had never happened before in the Roman Empire until the Church of Jesus Christ came along. There is power in the unconditional love of the church in this culture. You don't realize family on mission. That is not Dave Shepherd's idea. That is God's idea. It was always his idea from the very beginning that a diverse group, a diverse family would come together in unity on mission with all of our differences. I hope you understand how powerful this community is. That, you know, the Queensland government has actually dedicated a department called the Loneliness Department in government to address issues of loneliness. I guarantee it's happening in the Adelaide Hills too. There are people longing for this kind of community, longing for an invite, longing to be included, longing to belong. And there'll be many who, if you'll invite them and welcome them, they'll belong before they believe. Paul left this fledgling group of people, this fledgling group of misfits in Philippi. What we don't see just from initial reading is this is the first ever church in Europe. That's the first church in Europe. That little group of misfits. Macedonia is in modern day Greece. This little group of misfits, they love God, they loved each other, they shared the gospel through Europe and churches were planted. There was a move of God. You know, there was reformers in Germany. The Church of England grew. They sent missionaries to Australia. Then some Baptist breakaways came as well. And churches were planted in this nation, and that enabled you and me to hear the gospel because generations before us actually were faithful to the cause of the gospel. And Paul, when he writes to this little church in Philippi later, he says, whatever happens, Philippians chapter 1, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. I think that's a word for Hills Baptist Church this weekend. It's great to come together from all different campuses. Stand firm in one spirit. Strive together as one. Love each other's differences. There are people in your row today that are going to get up your nose. You're not going to like their political persuasions. You're not going to like, you know, the way they go about doing things in their lives. Love them anyway. Strive together as one for the gospel. I believe we can see the gospel spread like never before. I've got a couple of minutes over. I'm sorry about that. And mate, you're a genius. But if you're here today, I'd just love to pray for you. If you would like the Spirit of God to renew an urgency within you to share the gospel with someone. If that's you today, you want the Spirit of God to fill you afresh and renew an urgency in you to share the gospel with someone, just stand where you are and open your arms. Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh in this place. Holy Spirit, would you come? You come and just breathe afresh in this place. Pour out your Spirit, Lord Jesus, on men and women, young and old. God, would you fill them afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit? God, would you renew an urgency in their heart to share your good news in words and in deeds, sitting around kitchen tables, outside school fences, sitting at work lunch tables, and in the four walls of a local church. God, would you renew an urgency in us today? Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill us. Fill us with love for people that you love. Fill us with love for the broken in our community. Break our hearts, God, for what breaks yours. God, would you not let our hearts get numb to the numbers of people who are heading to a Christless eternity. But God, may you grip our hearts afresh today. Fill our hearts with love for the people that you love. And God, would you renew an urgency in us to befriend, to welcome, and just to simply share what you've done in our lives, to share your goodness, to share your grace, to share our testimony, to share, Jesus, that you are good and you love every person. You died for every person. You rose from the dead, you're alive today. You can heal every person. And you're coming again one day to make all things right. God, would you give us an urgency to share that good news wherever we go? I ask in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Hills Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to partner with us in developing and equipping passionate disciples who love God, love people, and boldly share the gospel, you can do that at hillsbaptist.com/giving. We pray this message has empowered you to live and love more like Jesus. Have an amazing day.